And I invite you to turn now to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Beginning in verse 21 will be our text this morning as we contemplate some of the names and titles of Jesus that was spoken at his birth. Verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for Jesus, and we thank you that these names and titles reflect who he is and the wonderful mission that he came to accomplish. And Lord, as we contemplate these names and titles of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to rejoice in who Jesus is and what he came to do. And I pray for anyone who hears this message who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, who doesn't know Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, who doesn't know Jesus as King, Lord, that today will be the day when they come to know Jesus in such away. And we pray and ask this in his name. Amen. Is anyone unhappy with one of your names? You know, your first, middle, last name. You know, if you don't use one of your names, that's probably an indication that maybe you're not so happy with it. But names are very, very special, and they have a lot of meaning. Names. My name is Stephen Frederick Felker. And when my mother was really going to get my attention, she would say all three of those names and add an inflection at the end of the name. Well, Stephen, I like the name Stephen. I was named after my great-great-grandfather, born in 1799, the patriarch of our family. And Stephen was the faithful martyr in the Bible. Frederick, I didn't like Frederick. But then I realized my grandfather's first name was actually Frederick, so I was named after my grandfather, whom I loved dearly. And then Felker, I'm fine with Felker. It's just that I got to spell it so many times. F-E-L-K-E-R. You know, it's not that hard of a name. But names. And then Mary just had a birthday on Christmas Day. And is it any surprise her parents named her Mary? And Drew and Eunice are expecting a daughter. And you heard the announcement, many of you, that they've already got a name picked out. Abigail, joy of her father. And names indeed are very, very significant. Well, in Bible times, names were even more significant because they were not just means of identification, but names in Bible times had an obvious meaning associated with them. Names reflected the character of the child or the desired destiny of the child. And I think it's important that we consider this morning the names and titles of Jesus that were given to him at his birth, for they are full of meaning and tell us much about what Christmas is all about. And so I want to lead you in a consideration of three of the names and titles of Jesus given to him before his birth. And the first, of course, is Jesus. In verse 21, we read in Matthew chapter 1, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The angel revealed to Joseph the name of this special child that God had sent and raised up. His name would be Jesus. In Bible times, the father would be the one that would name the child. And so it was given to Joseph, the responsibility of naming the child. But actually, it was God the Father who gave the name of his son, Jesus. Jesus, what a lovely name. Jesus in Greek, equivalent to Joshua in the Old Testament, or Yehoshua, it is pronounced in Hebrew. And so consider with me the meaning of the name, because that is why this name was chosen. And it means Jehovah is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord. That is the essence of the name. Now, the Jews would name children Jesus. It was a very common name because they were longing for the Lord to save them from the power and the oppression of the mighty Roman Empire. But we see in the word of the angel that we should not be looking for political salvation, earthly salvation, but primarily spiritual salvation. Notice in verse 21, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." From their sins. Not from Rome, not from oppression, not from the problems of this life, but from their sins. And the word translated sin means to miss the mark, like an arrow misses the mark. And all of us miss the mark of obeying God like we ought to. And sin brings death. Sin brings sorrow. And so the name of Jesus focuses our attention on the fact that God sent Jesus to save us from our sin. God sent Jesus to be our Savior. And really, indeed, as the name says, salvation is of the Lord, is of Yahweh, of Jehovah God. Jonah, when he was in the belly of the great fish, said salvation is of the Lord. And Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Yes, Jesus is Savior. He is the Lord saves. And why is it that salvation from sin is our greatest need? Yes, you can pray and call upon the Lord and He can save you from sickness. He can save you from financial hardship. He can save you from other problems. But the greatest need that you and I have is to be saved from our sins. Sin is the root cause of all of our other problems. And so Jesus came to save us, not from the symptoms of our sins, but first and foremost from our sins, which are indeed the real problem that we need to be saved from. And notice that the angel says he will save us from our sins. Not may, but will. You can count on Jesus to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to give you eternal life, if you will only trust in Him. Trust in Jesus. And so let us reflect upon the fact that Jesus was born to be our Savior. Our Savior. That's the message of Christmas. He offers forgiveness. He offers eternal life. And if you have not received this forgiveness, if you have not received this eternal life, just remember what the name Jesus means. It means that the Lord Jesus will save you if you only trust in Him. But you know, He not only saves us from the penalty of sin, He saves us from the power of sin. Sin has a grip on the lives of multitudes of people. And some battle addiction, which is an even deeper form of the power of sin over a person's life. But I can tell you, Jesus can also save you from the power of sin. The Lord saved me from the power of sin. There are others sitting here that you're not all that you should be, but praise God, you're a long way from where you were at one time in your life. Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Lord saves. That's the meaning of His name. But think about the fact of the exaltation of His name. Again, Jesus, the name was a common name in the first century, but now it's unusual for anyone to be named Jesus. And you know why? Because there's no one that is worthy to bear that name but Jesus. He is the Lord who saves us. And so we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Yes, it is a very special name. And so let us respond as we reflect upon the meaning of the name Jesus. The Lord saves. Let us respond with gratitude for saving us. Let us respond with obedience, for He deserves our obedience. And you know what? Joseph was obedient. Verse 25, he named the child Jesus. You know, he could have said, well, you know, I wanted to name him after my father. I wanted to give him one of our family names. But no, he was obedient and gave him the name Jesus because that fit his mission so well. But there's another name that was given to Jesus even before His birth. In fact, it was given hundreds and hundreds of years before His birth through the prophecy of Isaiah, and that is the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Look at our scripture in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You know, as far as we know, no one actually called Jesus Emmanuel among His family or even His followers. I believe this was more of a prophetic title given to Jesus. Emmanuel, because of its meaning. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And what does that name Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. And actually in the original language, with us is stated first for emphasis, emphasizing the fact that in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, God was with us. And the word with has the meaning of face to face with, an intimate relationship through our Lord Jesus Christ is now possible. Sin separates us from God, but through Jesus, we are brought together in a face-to-face relationship. Isn't it amazing that the high and exalted God would become Emmanuel, God with us? John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth." And so if Emmanuel conveys the truth that in Jesus, God is now with us, what does that mean for us? Well, it means, first of all, that Jesus is indeed God. He is God with us. He is the very Son of God. It reveals that Jesus is God, and Jesus revealed God to us like no other. He said to Philip, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so he came to reveal God to us. And there is good reason to believe that Jesus truly is God with us. This is not just some fanciful Christmas story. This is not like Greek mythology of the gods coming down and living among us. This is sober truth from the very Word of God. How do we know that He is God with us? Well, right here in this context, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, fulfilling the prophecy that the Messiah would be virgin born, miraculously born, conceived of the Father. That points to His deity as well. He has none other than God as His Father. And then also, we know that this is true because He did miracles that only God can do during His ministry. And He lived a sinless life that only God could have lived. And it was necessary for Him to live a sinless life, because if He had sinned, He would have died for His sins. But instead, He died for our sins. Yes, Jesus is God. He is the very Son of God. And since He is God, Jesus is able to help us. He is able to meet our needs. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, "With God, all things are possible." And since Jesus is God with us, since Jesus is God, Emmanuel, then that means that Jesus can do the impossible. And so you can look to the Lord in prayer and trust that He is able to help us. There is no problem that you face that Jesus can't handle. He is God with us. And the fact that He is Emmanuel, God with us, also means that God cares for us. The very fact that Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven and lived among us shows that He is not just with us, but He is also for us. He came to be with us. He cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 gives the application where Peter says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." He cares for you. Call upon Him in prayer. Share the burdens and problems that you're facing in life. Let me share something else that Emmanuel means. It means that God knows us by personal experience. Now, folks, God is omniscient, and therefore He knows everything. He knows what you're going through just by virtue of His omniscience. But when God became man and lived among us, then He also knew by personal experience what it's like to live in this world. And so Jesus gained personal experiential knowledge of what it was to be a child, what it was to be a teenager, what it was to be an adult, what it was like to live in a sin-cursed fallen world? Are you struggling to make a living? Well, Jesus was a carpenter and he earned a living. Are you struggling with poverty? Well, the Bible says that Jesus, though he was rich, yet became poor. Jesus said during his ministry, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Are you experiencing bereavement? Well, all indication was that Joseph died before Jesus did, and he suffered bereavement of the loss of his stepfather. He stood by the graveside of his friend Lazarus, and the Bible says Jesus wept at the graveside of his friends. Jesus experienced bereavement. Have you ever experienced rejection? Well, we all have, and the prophet said that he would be despised and rejected of men, and indeed he was. He was rejected. He was betrayed. Jesus experienced that in his own personal life. Jesus experienced hunger. Jesus experienced thirst. Jesus even experienced temptation. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says that he was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. And so when you have a problem, when you have a need, you can talk to someone who has actually experienced what you're going through. You can talk to someone who can sympathize with you because he's been through it. Talk to the Lord in prayer. He knows us by personal experience. And finally, the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel also means that God is still with us. This is the good news. He wasn't just with us almost 2,000 years ago, but Jesus Christ is still with us. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, who is Jesus talking about, this helper? The Holy Spirit. Say, "I am leaving you bodily. I will no longer be with you in flesh. But in my place, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be with you." And the word helper means literally one called alongside. The Holy Spirit will be with you. You know, we talk about asking Jesus to come into your heart. Well, he does so through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, means that God is always with you. When Jesus sent out his disciples, giving the Great Commission, he ended it by saying, "And lo, I am with you all the days of your life, even to the end of the age." God is with us. Boy, what a year 2020 has been. And many of us can say, yes, it's been a difficult year, but God has been with us. And we don't know what 2021 holds for us. But I can assure you that as a Christian, Jesus is Emmanuel. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, God will be with you in 2021 as well. And so Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Emmanuel means God with us. And there's one other title that prophetically was that of Jesus, even before his birth, and that is King of the Jews. In chapter 2, as we move into chapter 2, we read about wise men coming from the east. These were not Jews, these were Gentiles. And the Jewish scriptures had spread through much of the Near East, and they knew the prophecies that Messiah, the King of Israel, a son of David, was to be born. And so they came seeking the King of the Jews, for they saw his star. Even from prophecy, there was a connection between the Messiah and a star, and they concluded that the Messiah has been born, and they came traveling afar to seek this one who was born King of the Jews. And indeed, prophecy said that this one, this Messiah, would be the King of the Jews. In verse 6, there's a quotation from Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And one of the first prophecies was Genesis 49, verse 10. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." And then one of the greatest prophecies is found in Isaiah chapter 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this." I tell you what, I'm longing for the day when Jesus rules over this whole world. And according to the prophecy, that day will surely come to pass when Jesus comes again. In fact, Revelation chapter 19 declares that he's not just the King of the Jews, but he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's coming again to rule and to reign. Is Jesus the King? Well, the Magi, the story of the Magi confirms it. Their gift of gold fit for a king confirms it. Providentially, the governor Pilate wrote "King of the Jews" above Jesus as he died for us on that cross. The resurrection proved that he is the Son of God, that he is the King and Lord of all. He even conquered death. And after his resurrection, he said in Matthew 28, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus Christ is indeed the King of the Jews, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if Jesus Christ is indeed the King, the Messianic King that God promised, then what should that mean for us? How should we respond? Well, we should be like the wise men, the Magi, and worship him. In verse 2, they declare their intention to worship this King of the Jews. And in verse 11, sure enough, having found him, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. That word translated worship would mean to bow and kiss the hand of royalty, or even to lay prostrate and kiss the feet of royalty. That's how it was used in the East. But in Scripture, such worship was reserved only for God, which was fitting since Jesus is the Son of God. They bowed down and worshiped him as King. And even so, we should worship Jesus. We should worship Him for who He is, the very Son of God, God with us. We should worship Him for what He has done for us when He died for us on the cross, when He forgave us of our sins, when He has given us eternal life and changed our lives. We should worship Him. I want to commend you for including worship in your Christmas holiday. And as we move into 2021, may you be committed to the worship of Jesus throughout the year, for He is worthy of our worship. And we should not only worship Him, but we should certainly obey Him. The fact that He is King indicates that He is sovereign, that He is to be obeyed, and we certainly should obey Jesus. And you know, when they recognized Jesus as King, when they recognized the angel and the message from God, they obeyed. Verse 12, and went a different way. Obedience is what we owe Jesus as King. Do you obey Jesus on a regular basis? We should obey Jesus. Obey His greatest commands to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We should obey His commands of Scriptures. We should obey His great commission to take the gospel to the nations. Are we living in obedience to King Jesus? We certainly should obey Him. And then finally, we should give gifts to Him. It was customary that when you went into the presence of a king, you would not dare enter the presence of a king without a gift. And so these men, as they were entering into the presence of the King of the Jews, they brought their gifts and offered gifts to Him. Again, verse 11, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Giving gifts is an expression of worship. Giving gifts is an expression of love. And so, at this Christmas season, we should also respond to Jesus as King by giving Him our gifts, giving Him our offerings, and especially what is on His heart, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so, may we give generously to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. These magi, that, by the way, there's no indication other than tradition that they were kings. They were probably not really that wealthy, but they gave generously to Jesus. Gold, expensive. Frankincense and myrrh, expensive gifts. They gave generously. And may we give generously at this season of the year especially. And so I've shared with you this morning three of the names and titles of Jesus. Jesus means salvation is of the Lord. Have you turned to Jesus for salvation? If not, you can do so today. Emmanuel means God with us. Don't you want to know that God will always be with you as you go through life? Only if Jesus is your Savior can you have that assurance. And He is the King. Is He your Lord? Are you living in obedience to Him? Do you need to recommit your life to Jesus as King? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these wonderful names and titles of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we reflect upon these names and titles, that we will respond to the meaning of these names and titles as you would have us to with our lives. And during this time of invitation, if there's anyone that needs to be saved, Lord, help them to call upon that wonderful and matchless name, the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, may you save souls today. May you help us to truly experience what it is to have you with us each and every day. May we submit to the kingship and lordship of Jesus, especially as we enter into this next year, and we ask this in His name.